We're doing the Avat Chesed, we're on Reish Lamed Zayin in the Standard Editions, page Shin Dalid in the Zeligman Edition. The Chafetz Chaim had discussed that a person should try to purchase an asset, a piece of land or a storefront that will produce profits, and those profits will go to charity. B'chol zeh shekatavnu, and this whole concept which he'd written about, Merumaz b'Sefer Chasidim, is really alluded to in the work called Sefer Chasidim, written by Rav Yehuda HaChosid. He was a very late Rishon. B'milot k'tzorot b'siman tashiyaz. He wrote it in short. V'zel shonon, I'll quote you what he says. Shema itzam b'chaim mekabel musar ma'acherim. Listen to advice while you're still alive. Listen to guidance from others. She'arbe ra'iti she'tzivu b'chol yam u'v'nei v'tam lo'asu mitzvatam. Because I've seen many people leaving a will, and their family members didn't listen to them. And that's why the verse says, you be smart to ensure that things work out the way you'd like, even after you die. And let's say you did not take care of it early on, you don't have a will, and a person, like many people, decides to write a will when he's nearing death, at least ensure that you set it up with witnesses present. וזה לשונו שם, and what he writes is, כשקבוי מאדם למות, יצווה לפני עדים, ואפילו לאביו לא יאמין. He says, when a person sees his nearing death, he should get witnesses. In our day and age, we might say, get a lawyer. And don't even trust your father. וכל שכן לבניו ולאשתו, and certainly his wife and children, עד כאן לשונו. Because we know what happens. A person dies, and then everyone starts being greedy, right? He says, if you want to ensure that things are dealt with correctly, get witnesses. V'atam b'chol zeh. And what's the logic behind this? Ki abanim choshvim al avihem. Because children think about their father. Mikivan shekvar met. Lama tzichu achshav linchasav? He's dead already. What does he need his assets for? So if you tell the kids, look, I want you to take some of my assets and dedicate it to charity, the kids will say, wait, that's a lot of money to give to charity. We'll give a donation here, a donation there. I know Dad wanted us to give this hotel to be for charitable purposes, or the profits should be for charitable purposes. But what does he need that for? He's dead already. And the Chafetz Chaim says, really, they're in error. Because right now he needs that more than they do. Because these merits will help save him from the justice, the judgment of a person post-mortem, the judgment he's being led to. So that's why he says, take care of it to ensure it happens. If you want to set up charity, set it up while you're still alive. If you have to do it in your will, so then do it with witnesses. Don't entrust it to family. Midrash mashal. And in the Medrash, they say the following allegory. L'adam she'alo shlosha chaverim. A man had three friends. Ha'echad o'avo me'od. One friend liked him a lot. Ha'sheni o'avo v'lo kol kach. Second friend liked him, but not so much. Ha'shlishi lo hayo avo v'lo chashavo limuma. And the third one, well, he didn't like him too much, and he never considered him for too much. Pam achat shalach ha'melech likro lo oto adam. The king once called this guy, and he's being summoned. V'sarisei ha'melech hivilu la'avir od lifnei ha'melech. And the king's officers are coming, and they're rushing him to come before the king. So he's nervous. He's being summoned. He's going to be judged. V'ayaz ha'adam yitpachid u'mityare. So he was very scared. V'omer shemel shinu lifnei ha'melech v'yargeni. He says, maybe people said bad things about me to the king, and he's summoning me to kill me. He says, best idea, I'll call my best friend, who I really love, who I really trust. Let me bring him with me, and he will say good things about me before the king. If the king, if people told him that slander, that I was planning a coup, a rebellion, something, I'll have my best friend here. He'll be able to say, I'm a faithful citizen, I'm a good guy. So he calls his first friend, his best friend, right? And he tells him what's going on. So this friend had brains, and he was scared. You know, if I come with you, they might blame me together with you. So his best friend says, I'm not going. And he says, look, end of story, I'm not coming. So he left his best friend, and he's feeling totally dejected. He says, okay, I still have a second friend. Let me ask him to come with me to the king. He went and asked him to come. He tells him, you know what? I'm not going to go in before the king with you. That's too dangerous. But I'm willing, I'll accompany you along the way to protect you. But he says, when we get to that room with the king, I'm leaving. I'm telling you right now. So he goes to the third guy, who he barely considered. He didn't really think of him as a friend. He never really valued him too much. He asked him, can you come with me to the king? And he told him, you know what happened? I went to the other two friends first. Amalo al tira. So the third friend says, don't worry. I'm going with you. I'll come with you before the king. And I will speak on your behalf. Till you'll be saved from the king. He went with him before the king. And he spoke positive things about what a great citizen he is. And how much he's contributed. And he saved his life from the king. So the Medrash says, who are these three friends? Who is the friend that he really loved? Huam Amon, that's his money. Because a person throughout his life really treasures his money. That's the friend that leaves a person when he dies. And when a person goes to the grave, he can't take that friend with him. He's going to Judgment Day. And his best friend, his whole life, you know, his bank account, his money, is not coming with him. As the verse says, one's honor, one's wealth does not accompany him to the grave. The second friend who takes him much of the way, that's a person's children and relatives, they accompany a person till the grave. And once he's buried, they all go back home. He's left alone. The third friend who really speaks on his behalf, that is the tshuva, the good deeds that he's done, that when a person dies, they come and speak on his behalf, as the verse says, who's the king? That's Hashem. He doesn't take any bribes. And no one can escape his justice. The only way out is with Torah and good deeds. This is what the Medrash says. Now, he quoted one version of the Medrash. There's another version to this Medrash. The second version is very similar to the first, only in the second version, it says two things different. One is that when he's going to the king, all his friends are with him. He has a whole group coming with him, and as they travel, one by one, they disappear until he reaches the king's room, and he has only one friend with him, the friend he never thought too highly of. And the conclusion of the Medrash is slightly different. The conclusion of the Medrash is that who is that friend? That friend is the few coins you put in the tzedakah box when you come to daven. You never think much of it, right? Every day you put in 10 agurot, 30 agurot. You don't think about it, but you're doing a mitzvah. And then at the end of one's lifetime, suddenly those coins, which you never thought too much about, suddenly a person comes to Judgment Day, and they're the ones that are there, and they speak on one's behalf. They say, you know, he did all these good things. We give a coin to a poor person here, and we put a coin in a pushka there. We never think too much of those mitzvot. So there are mitzvot that we do, and we don't think too much about them. And those are the friend that we never thought too highly of that suddenly shows up in Judgment Day and speaks on our behalf. So that's a different version of this Medrash. Okay, we'll finish the chapter Bezat Shem later tonight.